We're going to be discussing the Shaila that Dr. Steinhertz asked me this morning, and I think it's a very important Shaila. Let's try to dissect it. Let's try to break it down. Let's try to understand what the important and relevant issues are and deal with each one as it comes. So the question that Dr. Steinhertz had this morning was a fascinating one. Last night, there was a young woman who was in the infirmary who was having a traumatic physical problem, and the infirmary was taking very good care of her, but aside from her physical issue that she was having and the terrible health condition that she is in, there was also an emotional piece to this, and they could not calm her down. And Dr. Steinhertz and all the medical staff was trying their best till they got to a point where she told Dr. Steinhertz that if he would be so kind as to allow her to paint his fingernails with nail polish, then she would calm down. And obviously, as the loving, kind person that he is, he acquiesced and he agreed and he said that it was fine and it worked. Miraculously, it worked. So the question that Dr. Steinhertz had this morning was, he walked into davening, he wanted to know, now that he has blue nail polish on his fingernails, would that be a chatzitza for tefillin? So that is a fascinating question. So let's think about that question a little bit. What? Well, so slow down. So let's deal with that, and then let's get to what I think is a more important question than tefillin, which is the issue of chatzitza for netilas yadayim, potentially. So let's go one issue at a time, and let's try to understand. What's fascinating about the issue when it comes to chatzitza by tefillin is, all of us have heard of the fact that we have to be careful not to have a chatzitza when we wear a tefillin. However, there is no source in the Gemara that explicitly states the halacha, which is shocking. That's very surprising. So where does it come from? So the Rush and other Rishonim try to identify different sources in the Gemara where indirectly, not in a straightforward way, but indirectly, the Gemara seems to teach us that you're not allowed to have a chatzitza when you wear the tefillin. For example, the Rush points us to a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Erechin, where we're told that because a Kohen has to wear big day kuhuna every day, and the big day kuhuna have to be on his body, al bisaro, therefore the Gemara says he doesn't have to wear tefillin. Because how's he going to wear tefillin? If he has to have the big day kuhuna on his body, and he has to have the tefillin on his body, then obviously he's not going to be able to do both. Nu, says the Rush, why can't he just put the tefillin on top of his shirt? The answer is obviously that you're not allowed to have a chatzitza by the tefillin. So it's an indirect lima. The Rush and the Ran, other Rishonim try to explain from different Gemaras where they come up with this concept that there's an issue of a chatzitza by tefillin at all. Be it as it may, we all assume la halacha that there's a halacha of chatzitza by tefillin. However, the Rashba qualifies the statement and he says, no, no, no. When we talk about a chatzitza by tefillin, that doesn't mean for the entire arm, including the fingers. Writes the Rush, when we talk about a chatzitza by tefillin, all we're referring to is b'makom haktzitza. The ktzitza is the bias. So as long as on your forearm you don't have a chatzitza there, that would be okay. And the Rush says, that is all that we need to worry about. So if a person technically wears a watch, if a person has a ring on their finger, technically we would say that's not a chatzitza at all. It wouldn't be a problem because the only problem of chatzitza by tefillin shel yad is when it's on one's muscle. It's only when it's on that part of the arm, which is where the bias is. The Rashba ends off his tshuva by saying, I think this is the halacha. However, he says, you look around the world and you see the minhag is not like that. People do remove whatever they have on their arms, and therefore he says, you know, I'm not sure that what I said is to be taken at face value. Maybe the minhag has value regardless, and we should remove other things when we wear our tefillin. The Shulchan Aruch quotes us lahalacha, and he says, like the Rashba, that the only time there is an issue is when it's by the bias. However, b'ritzuos, the Ramah says, if you have a chatzitza by the ritzuos, ein lahakbid, not a big deal. So there's an amusing story. I always find it very fascinating. It's an amusing story, a little bit interesting, that the Chabina Rav, who was known to be a great goyin and tzaddik, who lived in Yerushalayim and Shari Chesed, so the Chabina Rav was a contemporary of Rabbi Avadi Yosef. He was older than him, but he was a contemporary. They used to talk and learning a lot. Rabbi Avadi Yosef and many other gedolim looked up to the Chabina Rav as one of the great, great goanim in the generation. I'm actually reading this biography that someone bought me this week about Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and in the Hakdama to the whole book, they write how the Chabina Rav and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman had such a close connection, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman admired the Chabina Rav, and he said, of all the hasmada and all the chesed and all the everything else, what am I so infatuated by when I think about the Chabina Rav? It's the fact that he was so normal. That's what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said. And what are we infatuated by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman? That he was so normal. So I guess he got it from great sources. Anyway, so the story goes that the Chabina Rav wrote a whole tshuva in his sefer Dovid Meisharim that if a person wears a watch, he's not mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin if he doesn't take it off, and how could it be? It's a chatzitza, it's a problem. Anyway, if you look through the sources, you look into the Rishonim, it seems, why would a watch be a problem? So Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes a whole tshuva in his sefer Yechaveh Das trying to explain why a watch isn't a problem. He says, the minhag is we take things off of our arm, but meikar adin, you don't have to do it, so why would the Chabina Rav write, you're not yotzei the mitzvah? So he said, I finally mustered up the courage to go Bakodesh Pnima, to go discuss with the Chabina Rav myself what he's talking about. How can that be? He says, I felt uncomfortable disagreeing with him, but I just didn't understand. It doesn't follow what all the sources say. So he says, he knocks on the door of the Chabina Rav, he goes inside to the house, and he's trembling in the presence of the Chabina Rav, and he finally starts talking and learning with him, and he says, you know, you have a tshuva in the Dovid Meisharim about wearing a watch, you're not Mekai in the mitzvah, how can it be? I don't understand. All the Rishonim say it's not a problem. Chabina Rav says, oh, one second, how do you wear a watch? He says, what do you mean, how do you wear a watch? You wear it on your arm. He says, oh, I thought you wear a watch up here. So Rav Avadya said, well, most of the world wears a watch on their wrist. He says, oh, if they wear a watch on their wrist, there's no shaila at all. So it's important. It's important. I think that story, I know that story is printed in a footnote in the Yechaveh Das. I actually have my father's set of Yechaveh Das. I stole it a number of years ago. And when I got married, I didn't have a set. My father said, you know, basically, I know them all by heart. That was basically not really what he said, but that was his point. So he gave it to me, and I have it at home. It's a beautiful set of Svarim. So my father has the old edition, the first edition, where they have this footnote on the bottom. Rebbe Avadya quotes a story. In the later editions, they took it out, because the shtick will be zayin to the Chabina Rav, a little funny story. But it's an amusing story regardless. Anyway, that's with regard to the mitzvah of tefillin. And when we talk about chatzitza by tefillin, really it's not ma'akev at all when it comes to any other part other than the bias, other than the forum. Now we get... What?
Didn't Moshe have a tshuva about a guy that had like a tattoo on his forearm?
Yeah.
And then if it's leather, then it's min b'min.
Yeah, yeah. Tattoos are very different shaila, because most tattoos are embedded into the arm. So tattoo by tefillah b'mikvah is a big, big discussion. And most... I mean, all the poskim say basically that a tattoo is not...
No,
does not...
Yeah. He had a tattoo on it where the bias goes. He had a tattoo of a naked lady.
Yeah, yeah.
So they put a piece of leather there.
That was the Reb Moshe's discussion. But again, it really stems from the discussion of tattoos by...
A leather band also wouldn't be... Even if you want to say that it's a...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. It's an interesting discussion. Anyway, so now we shift the discussion. I think forgetting about tefillin for a moment, I think the more important discussion is about Netilas Yadayim. What do we do about Netilas Yadayim? Is that going to constitute a chatzitza for Netilas Yadayim?
Just tefillin for a second. You're not putting tefillin actually on your fingernail. Does that make any difference?
Than
a band-aid, right?
Right, meaning, well, no, but it was on the middle finger. Meaning, so...
That's fine, but you're not putting tefillin on the nail.
Either way, we hold that by tefillin, this is not really an issue, so you don't have to really get into the details. You're saying it doesn't even begin to be a problem because you don't even touch it. So let's say a ring, right? A man wears a ring, so that's a shayla. Anyway, I think... What? What? Yeah, so Begadisha is an interesting problem. I think we can overlook Begadisha when we talk about doing it for these kinds of purposes, but let's assume that we did it for the right reasons and it's okay. So, Mike Summerstein told me the other day that there was someone in his neighborhood. I don't know which neighborhood he's talking about. I assume where he lives, but I don't know. He said he knows somebody who is having big struggles in Parnassa. And he went to a Mekubal, and he asked the Mekubal, what should I do? So the Mekubal started asking him a bunch of different questions, and he said, let me see your fingers. So he looks at his fingers and he sees that he has clear nail polish, like shiny nail polish on his fingers. So he says, oh, you got to get rid of the nail polish. So he said to the Mekubal, what is this, magic? What's wrong with the nail polish? Why is that a reason why I'm not being matzliach? So he said, oh, because by Netilas Yadayim, it says if you're Zohar Netilas Yadayim, you're going to have a good parnasa, you're going to have shefa. And he says over here, you're not Zohar Netilas Yadayim because it's not getting your fingers. Interesting story. I'm not sure what to make of it. He just told this to me last night. But be it as it may, let's first get to the source. And he said he was matzliach after that. So I guess he's either a good mekubal or he's a good businessman. Whatever it is, something worked. So the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin that we learn from a pasuk that we're supposed to do netilas yadayim before we eat bread. Now the Gemara says clearly that's not from a pasuk in Chumash. It's an asmachta. It's something that Chazal learned out from, based on a pasuk in Chumash, in Parshas Metzora, but it's obviously not something that's midarais, it's a dinder rabbanan. The Gemara in Chagiga wants to know, why do we have this dinder rabbanan? Where does it come from? Why should we wash our hands before we eat bread? So the Gemara says in Chagiga a number of reasons. The main reason the Mishnah Berurah says from the Gemara is that basically it's mishum srach truma. So if I have a kohen, and the kohen usually eats truma, this man shebeis hamigdash hayakayim, when they had tuma v'tahara, so a kohen used to eat truma. The problem is a kohen is always touching different things during the day. So the Chacham made a din, before a kohen engages in the act of eating truma, he has to wash his hands. Because of that, we wanted to make sure that a kohen is going to be careful, so now we said, everyone's going to be careful. Before anyone eats bread, you're going to have to wash your hands. And because we did that, b'zman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, we do it today. So this is an extension of an extension. It used to be that a kohen should wash his hands so that he doesn't touch the truma and be metame the truma. We extended that to Yisrael b'zman shemes hamikdash ayakayim. Now that the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, everybody has to wash their hands, even though there is no Tumah v'Tahara at all. But that's basically the reason, and that is what the Mishneh Berurah comes to, the Maskana. He quotes the other reasons as well, but that's the main reason. Mishneh Berurah says, so then you have to ask yourself, why is it limited to bread? A Kohen can eat many things that are from Truma, and we should say, anytime you eat any item, you should have to wash your hands to make sure that you're not going to have a mistake when we have a Beis Hamikdash and a Kohen's going to be eating Truma. Maybe that's going to be that. Mishneh Berurah says, no. Because most of the time, what is the truma that a kohen is eating? Most of the time it's bread. Most of the time it's from the flour, it's from the wheat. And therefore we would assume that that's what it's limited to. When you wash on Tilas Yadayim, the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, we have a halacha l'moshe misinai, that there's a din of chatzitza. And the Gemara says that when you have a tefila and a mikvah, so chatzitza is one of the halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, how exactly does one classify, how does one categorize what is considered a chatzitza and one is not? Does that mean anything that is found anywhere in a person's body is considered a chatzitza? That would be a little unreasonable. How do I know I don't have a speck somewhere in the back of my body somewhere that I can't see? It would be impossible. So the Gemara gives us general categories. The Gemara says as follows. Min HaTorah, says the Gemara, if I'm going into the mikvah and I want to know whether or not I have a chatzitza, says the Gemara, if most of my body has a chatzitza on it, I have paint splattered all over my body, that's a chatzitza, because I don't want to have the paint and it's all over the place. What if I have, most of my body is full of paint, but I have to be a painter, so I don't care. I don't even take it off in the shower. It doesn't bother me. I know tomorrow I'm going to get dirty again. Says the Gemara, midaraisa, not a problem. Why? The only time it's a problem, midaraisa, is when I'm makbid, and it's on most of my body. Now the Gemara says, midirabanan, they made xera. What if I have something that is on most of my body, but I'm not makbid? So midirabanan, they said, that's still going to be a chatzitza. Why? But I'm a painter. I don't care that I have paint all over my body. The answer is no, because most people, or other people, are going to have paint all over their body. They're going to say, oh, he went to the mikveh with paint all over the place. I should do the same thing. So therefore, the Gemara says, min exer derabanan, if you have paint over most of your body, that's a problem. And number two, if you have miyota makbid, if I am a person who has something small, meaning I don't have paint all over my body, I have paint all over my wrist. It's something that I'm usually not comfortable having on my wrist. Most regular people don't like to have that. So it's a miyota makbid, and therefore we assume that would be a problem. Now, Rashi says, why are these not problematic? Rashi explains, mishum debatel lugufo. I'm a person. I have skin on top of my body. So a painter doesn't care. He has paint on top of his skin. It's considered the same as the skin. It's not a big deal. And therefore the Gemara says, that's why midaraisa, that wouldn't be a chatzitza. Midarabanan, they made a gzera. Now, there's a detailed discussion in the Rishonim, what happens if you change the case just a little bit. What happens if most people are makbid, but I am not? What happens if most people would be bothered by such a thing on their body, but I personally don't care? I'm not so neat, it doesn't bother me at all. So the Rajba is of the opinion that we determine this based on what the convention of people would want to do. What is Das Rov B'nai Adam? You're a strange person and you don't think like everybody else, but the Daito Eitzel Das B'nai Adam. We disregard your opinion. We take the consensus opinion of what most people would be bothered by, and that is how we determine a chatzitza. And the Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says, no, it's determined by each person, by himself. What does he feel is bothersome? What does he not feel is bothersome? You take the case and you change it in the other direction. Actually, this trickles down to a machlokas between the Ramah and the Magen Avraham, where they discuss, when the whole Rishonim's discussion here is only when it comes to Tvila ben Mikvah, are we going to carry that over to Netilas Adayim, which is only a Dinder Abanan? Are we going to go that far? Writes the Mishneh Berurah from the Magen Avraham, yes, Netilas Yadayim carries over the same halacha as we find at Tefillah B'Mikvah, and therefore, if you have somebody who has something that most people would be makbid on, that would be something that would have to be removed before going to the mikvah. What about in the other direction? What if I have someone who's very particular and very picky, and they're so clean, but most people in the world wouldn't even notice this, most people wouldn't care at all? So what's the halacha there? So that's also a machlok, is the Mishneh Berurah and other achronim. What we would say the halacha is there. I see we're running out of time a little bit, so let me just hasten up a little bit. So we come to this story over here, and the question is whether this would be considered a chatzitza for Netilas Yadayim or not. There is a discussion in Achronim, what happens if a person has a bandage, right? So the Achronim discuss, a person has a bandage, and they can't take it off. So what are you going to say? That now it's a chatzitza every time they do Netilas Yadayim? So the Achronim say no. Why is it not a problem? Because if it's a sakana to take off the bandage, then that's not called a chatzitza, because anybody who would be in your position and it would be a sakana for them to remove it would not remove it. That's called Eino Makbid. 99% of the world doesn't have bandages and don't want to have bandages. Yeah, you're right, but they're not part of this discussion. Anyone who has a broken arm and needs to have a bandage on the limb, will keep the bandage on, and that's not called being makpid, because this is what they need to do. So that's why the Achronim say that this would not be a problem. Similarly, the Ksav Sofer writes the same idea in a tshuva, where he says that if you have something that most people who are in your situation would not be makpid, then that's not called being makpid. My father and another one of the contemporary poskim had a discussion about a woman who had terrible asthma, and she was not able to go underwater for even 1 second. She was not able to close her mouth for 1 second. That's the way it was. Whatever condition that she had, maybe asthma is not the right word, but whatever it was, that's the way they described it. And they were trying to figure out, she got married, how's she going to go to the mikvah? She has to be under the water. You can't tell her to keep her face out of the water. So the discussion was, can they do like a scuba diver? Can she have something in her mouth where they're going to leave it above the water, above the surface of the water, and then she'll be able to breathe normally? Problem is, you have to attach that to a person's mouth. They have to hold on very tightly. And if you close your lips very tightly, it's a shaila by a chatzitza. So that was the discussion. Couldn't you say over there, they were trying to figure out exactly how to do it. But the bottom line is that anybody who would be in your kind of position would want to have that. That's called eino makbid. That's called not a chatzitza, because anybody like you. So I was talking to my father today about this, and I argued, I thought, any doctor that would be in your position who is able to give comfort to a child who's in critical care, and the way to do that is to have that paint on their finger, and you're not going to take it off because you're going to go back to the infirmary, the child's going to see you again and want to see where the paint is. Anybody who'd be in your position would agree that this is the right thing to do and would agree this is what I want to do. That's not a chatzitza, that's called eino makbid. Because if you're in that category of people, if you're from that group of people that needs to have this right now for whatever reason, that is something that we assume would be considered eino makbid. Even though most other people in the world would not want to have what you have, but most of the people in the world are not part of your discussion. Most of the people in the world are not considered in this discussion. What we need to think about here is, if people were in your circumstance, in your kind of situation, would they be okay with this or not? And the answer is, of course they would. And therefore, that would be considered a miyot she'eino makbid, and therefore, it would be acceptable, and it would not be a chatzitza for netilas yadayim.